Dante's Inferno, Canto 11. Continuing the reading of the translation by Robin Kirkpatrick. Now near the brink of a sheer escarpment, formed in a circle from great shattered stones, we found below a crueler bunch of souls. And there, against an awful overflow, a stink arising from the utmost depths, we huddled back together by the lid of one vast sepulchre, inscribed, I saw, in words that said, I guard Pope Anastasius, drawn by Photinus from the rightful road. Best not descend too rapidly, but first get more accustomed in our sense of smell to this grim belch. We'll then not notice it. These were my teacher's words. To him I said, find something that will compensate, to waste no time. I'm thinking, as you see, he said, and then began, dear son, within this rock-rimmed pit, three lesser circuits lie. And these, like those you leave behind, go down by due degrees. Each rung is crammed with spirits of the damned. But listen now, so sight may henceforth serve, and hear the what and why of their constraints. Malice is aimed in all its forms, and thus incurs the hatred of heaven in gross injustice. And aiming so harms others by deceit or force. Deceit, though, is specifically a human wrong, and hence displeases God the more. Liars are therefore deeper down, and tortured worse. Ring one throughout is meant for violent wills, but violent acts may fall upon three persons, and so this ring is shaped and formed in three. To God, to self, to neighbours, hurt is done. To persons, of course, but also their possessions, in ways that you will now hear argued out. To those around us, death or grievous wounds are wrought by violent hands, the things we own ruined by outrage, extortion or fire. So in the agonies of sub-ring one, indifferent squads or homicides and thugs, vandals and looters, bandits and brigands. In violence too, we turn against ourselves or else our own belongings. And thus in sub-ring two are those, regret now vain, who by their own free will strips off your world or gambles all their competence away, and weeps where, properly, they should rejoice. Force, too, is offered to the deity by hearts blaspheming that deny his power or else scorn nature and her great largesse. And so the imprint of the smallest ring falls on Cahorsian bankers as on Sodom and those who speak at heart in scorn of God. As for deceit, which gnaws all rational minds, we practice this on those who trust in us, or those whose pockets have no room for trust. Fraud of the second kind will only gash the ligature of love that nature forms, and therefore in great circle too their nests swarm, smarm and hypocrisy, the casting up of spells, impersonation, thievery, crooked priests, embezzlement and pimping, such like scum. Fraud of the other sort forgets no less the love that nature makes, but then as well the love peculiar that trust creates. So in the smallest ring of all, that point within the universe where Satan sits, consumed eternally are traitors. Everyone. Your explanation, sir, I said, proceeds with great lucidity. You clarify the levels of this grim abyss and all within. Yet, tell me too, those souls in that gross marsh, those swept by winds, those creatures lashed by rain, and those that clash with such a brace of tongues, if they all likewise face the wrath of God, then why not racked within these flame-red walls? Or if they don't, why are they as they are? Why, he replied, do your frenetic wits wander so wildly from their usual track? Or where, if not fixed here, are your thoughts set? Do you at any rate not call to mind the terms in which your ethics fully treats those three dispositions that the heavens repel? Intemperance, intentional harm, and mad brutality. Or that intemperance offends God least, and least attracts his blame. If you think carefully of what this means and summon into thought what those souls are who serve their sentence in the upper ring, you'll plainly see why these are set apart from those condemned as felons and in pain less sharply hammered by divine revenge. You are the sun who heals all clouded sight, solving my doubts. You bring me such content that doubt, no less than knowing, is delight. But still, I said, turn backwards to the point where you declared that usury offends God's generosity. Untie that knot. Philosophy, as those that read it know, takes note, he said, on more than one occasion, of how the course that nature runs is drawn directly from the mind and art of God. If you read your physics with due care, you will see before your many pages through that your art takes as best it can the lead that nature gives. As student does from master, your art is nearly grandchild then to God. From these two principles, if you recall the opening lines of Genesis, we're bound to draw our living strength and multiply our people. But usurers adopt a different course. They place their hopes in other things and thus make mock of nature's self and her close kin. But follow on. I'm ready now to go. The writhing fish have swum to the horizon and wane lies high above the western wind. The leap we now must make lies far beyond. That's chapter 11 of Inferno by Dante.